reviewing our mission statement. And in our mission statement, it talks a little bit about enjoying God, loving each other, or the three parts of it, enjoying God, loving each other, and blessing our neighbors. And we're at this midway point. So I just want you to do this. When we talk about enjoying God, we talk about reaching up, okay? So when we say enjoying God, I want you to reach up. When we talk about loving each other, we're talking about reaching in. I want you to reach in, okay, like this. And then when we're talking about blessing other people, we're talking about reaching out, okay? So it's reach up, reach in, reach out, okay? So let's just do it. Enjoying God. Can you say it and reach your hands up at the same time? It's going to be a challenge for some of us, right? Enjoying God, loving each other, blessing our neighbors. Very good. Let's do it one more time. Enjoying God, loving each other, blessing our neighbors. Okay, so we're talking about how do we get traction on those. And so last week, Pastor Jeremy talked about the whole idea of circles are better than rows when it comes to connecting and community. Remember we talked about that? And he talked about those three C's that need to go on in a small group or small group life when we're in circles like that. One is challenging one another to grow spiritually. The other is connecting in fellowship with one another. And the third is caring for one another. So the next couple weeks and even this week, our small group leaders here at Mount Joy will be wearing like an orange name tag. So if you're not connected and you want to get connected, just walk up to somebody with an orange name tag on and say, I'd like to learn more about how to get connected here at Mount Joy. And they'll help you do that, okay, this week or in the next couple weeks. But I want to do an interaction question this morning because as we talk about spiritual gifts, I think there's been a lot of there's a lot of teaching about it, but there's a lot of kind of, at times, mystery. We use that term spiritual gifts, so we think it's kind of a mystery. But there's a lot of practical things about spiritual gifts that I want to talk about this morning. But I want you just to turn to two or three people. Just cluster together, say hi to each other this morning, be friendly. You guys are good at that. I've watched you do that a lot. You're a very warm, friendly group. So just say hi, two or three people in a group, and answer this question. What's the most memorable gift you've ever received? And who gave you the gift? And what did you do with the gift? What's the most memorable gift? What did you do with the gift? Or who gave you the gift? And what did you do with the gift? Circle up. Turn to a couple people this morning, say hello, and start to share a little bit, just for a few minutes.
All right.
So, what's the most memorable gift you guys have?
I think that.
My first car, Jeep Cherokee. It was gator blue with an orange pinstripe. My brother in law.
What you do with it?
Drove it.
I can't wait to open it.
About you.
So me, that was three-wheeler for Christmas. Given by all of us, by my parents. And what did I do? I rode and wrecked a lot.
So, nice.
How about
me? Oh man, it's so hard.
So
I think like
so I know that maybe only one or two of you got
like
to share so far.
Like a specific thing, but it's just like
so you can take this back up at coffee time, okay? When we get coffee a little bit later this morning, you can talk to each other about this. But it is interesting. The reason I asked the question, what did you do with the gift, is because when we're young and we get a gift, we usually keep that gift to ourselves, right? When I was young and I got a gift, I would usually keep that gift to myself. But as I got older, I found out there's a lot of joy in sharing a gift with other people. Like this morning, Betty gave me this whole bag of Hershey's candies, right? Thank you, Betty, for this whole bag of Hershey's candies. The goodness in this whole bag of Hershey's candies is not that I'm going to eat them myself, but I'm going to share them with the other office staff and anybody who comes in for an appointment or to come into the office. And now I know you're all coming into the office this week because there's Mr. Good Bars in. There's all kinds of Hershey's chocolates in here, York peppermint patties. There's Reese's cups. There's, you know, crackle bars, all kinds of good stuff in here. But if I just enjoy this myself or keep it to myself like I did when I was young, it doesn't bless other people. Spiritual gifts are given to the body of Christ so that we can share them with others. It's an interesting use of this term gift, because often we think a gift is just for us, but the gift is given so we can give it away. Bruce Bugbee says this. It's a great little book. If you ever want to read a great book on spiritual gifts and style and personality, he uses kind of three handles to help people find where they fit in the body of Christ. He says this about spiritual gifts. And let's read it out loud together. Let's read this out loud together. Spiritual gifts are divine abilities distributed by the Holy Spirit to every believer according to God's design and grace for what? For the common good of the body of Christ. So spiritual gifts are given to us to be able to share them and give them away. So he says they're divine abilities. They come to us when we receive Christ as our Savior. The Holy Spirit comes in us, on us, and through us. He gives us divine abilities. They're not just natural abilities. They're supernatural abilities. They're distributed by the Holy Spirit. He decides who gets what gifts and how those gifts work together. They're given to every believer. So everyone who believes in Jesus Christ has at least one spiritual gift to give, if not more. And they're given for the common good of the body of Christ. So let's talk a little bit about that this morning, about what do we do with our gifts? Well, we serve best, we give our gifts away, we exchange our gifts, we use our gifts together best in the body of Christ, number one, when we discover our gifts in humility. When we discover our gifts in humility. This passage says there's different kinds of gift, but the Spirit gives them. There are different kinds of service, but they're all the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. We need to receive these gifts as gifts from God humbly, and that God gets to decide who gets what gift. It's not because, oh, I'm smarter, or I'm better, or I'm a more beloved child of God, so I get this gift. And if you're not, you get this gift over here. No, the gifts are all important. We're going to talk about that in a moment, that there was this problem in the early church. And the problem in the early church was this. There was this thwarting and stifling of the discovery, the development, and the deployment of spiritual gifts in the family, because some of them thought that certain gifts indicated a higher degree of spirituality than others. The gift of apostleship, or the gift of tongues, or interpreting tongues, you know, or the gift of knowledge. And they thought, oh, these people, they must be the elite people. And the other people who get like the gifts of service and administration and teaching and all these kinds, they're kind of second level citizens. But Paul says, no, that's not right. You're thwarting the goodness of the body of Christ, and you're thwarting the ability of each other to receive your gift in humility and give it away freely, because you're taking this elitist mentality about the gifts. And Paul says, and he gives this help, he says that no person or gift in the body of Christ is inferior or superior. Okay? So let's just say that. No gift is inferior or superior. No gift is inferior. No gift is superior. Okay? They're all gifts given by God. We just need to humbly receive them and give them to one another. Just like these candies that Betty gave me this morning. I'm going to humbly receive them and give some of them to. Right? Maybe. If you notice, a lot of the Mr. Good bars are missing. It's not because of me, Betty. I didn't go through and steal all the Mr. Good bars just because I like Spanish peanuts and chocolate together. Right? And we can do that sometimes with our spiritual gifts. We'll kind of select, you know, I'll give my spiritual gift away to you, but not to you. And sometimes we hold back. And sometimes we're so focused on our gift. It's really God's gift loaned to us for a time, right? To bless the body of Christ and to get the gospel out to the greater community around us, right? So let's just say, God, thank you for the gift. I'm going to give it away. Let's just say that. God, thank you for the gift. I'm going to give it away. given for the common good of the body of Christ. So humility is accepting our gift from God for the good of others and the spreading of the gospel, for the good of the family of Christ and for the spreading of the gospel. In his book, Leadership, pastor, author Don Cousins writes about unhealthy and healthy church structure as it relates to gifts and ministry and things like that. Don Cousins was a pastor for years and still pastors out in the Midwest, and some of you may know his son, Kirk Cousins, who is a quarterback in the NFL. Well, Kirk Cousins' dad's a pastor and has been a pastor for years, and has written this great book, Leadership, and it's a great book about how do you get the body of Christ set up, motivated, and empowered to be the body of Christ so that there's a shift in leadership. And the shift is the body of Christ learning its gifts and abilities and putting them in practice so the body of Christ is doing its thing, okay? But he talks about an unhealthy church structure and then a healthy church structure. And I just want to go over this with you this morning because I want to encourage you that I think that as I've been here for a year now, that Mount Joy is pursuing a healthy church structure, okay? I think that maybe in the past at times you struggled as a church family with some unhealthy church structure to some extent. I'm not making a big judgment about that, but I'm saying that right now I see you're pursuing this, and I want to encourage, but I just want to explain the difference in it. An unhealthy church structure is where the board leads everything. The board micromanages everything. They're involved in everything. They do everything. Usually in a smaller church, that's what happens. And even though the board's not doing a lot, they're making all these decisions, and it seems to be kind of a micromanaging thing, all right? The staff is serving. The staff's doing all the ministry. They're not equipping people. They're just doing it, okay? And then the congregation is served. You know, that's the idea, that the staff and the board set the whole thing up so that the congregation is served. And the world around it, its neighbors, get ignored. How many churches do we know? I mean, I've been a guest speaker at churches where I've walked into a church and I've sat down and I've tried to kind of get people's attention that I was new a little bit, kind of walked around, where's the restroom? And I'm just trying to see how warm they would be. And I thought, I'm their guest speaker and I'm ignored. You know? And you guys are doing a great job not doing it. You're doing a good job moving towards this healthy church structure. And I just want to applaud that, but I wanted to show you the difference. So let's move to the next slide of the healthy church structure. This is where the board protects the vision and the values and the strategy of the church, okay? The board is a protector of that and works on that, but doesn't get micro-involved in every little part of the church. The staff is able to lead the church and give instruction. By lead, I mean equip, empower, help get teams together, get the body of Christ moving and its gifts and its callings and equip it for works of service and get it going. And then the congregation then what? Is motivated, it's serving, it's taking its gifts, it's giving them away, and what? The world is served. The world is served. Just a great illustration of that was last night. I didn't get to be with you guys last night after months of kind of planning this with the ministry team and this outreach picnic and community picnic. I wasn't able to be there. We had to be out in Pittsburgh and looking at some houses. My son and his wife and our grandson are moving from Erie to Pittsburgh. And so they were looking at some houses, and they wanted grandma and grandpa to be there to help them look at some houses together and be there with the little guy, of course, and we had some fun. So we camped overnight. Debbie and I camped overnight, and then we went yesterday and did that. But it was no greater joy yesterday after I got home. I got home about 9:30 last night, and as I'm getting ready to put my phone in the charger and go to bed, I thought, I'll just check Facebook. So I'm looking on Facebook, and I see these pictures of Mount Joy Church not ignoring the community, but engaging the community.
It's good.
Welcoming the community. Loving the community, feeding the community, playing with the community, right? Having a good time with the community, getting to know them. And so I just want to encourage you, keep on that path of this healthy church structure, board protected, staff led, being equippers, congregation serving, knowing your gifts in ministry and your calling and getting engaged in that, and then the world being served, being blessed by you. 1 Corinthians 12:11 says this, all these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them, those gifts, just as he determines. So we need to discover our gifts in humility. Second thing is, we serve best when we develop our gifts in community, within community. So last week, Jeremy talked to us about the power of community, those three C's in community: challenging, connecting, caring for one another. And in community is the best place for our gifts to be developed. 1 Corinthians 12:18-20 puts it this way. But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. Let's just say that together. There are many parts, but one body. One more time. There are many parts, there are one body. And so we're coming together to discern what is my part in the body. And how do I work with people in the body? Discernment has a lot to do with development of spiritual gifts. Discerning what God's doing, discerning who I'm to work with, discerning how we're to work together, discerning how our team and who's going to be in our team working together. So Paul points out again that this has been hampered because there's too much questioning about who has it, who has the greater spiritual gift, and there's not enough question about how do we fit together. The better question is, how do we fit together? That's when you develop. That's when you grow, when you start to figure out, how do we work together? How do we fit together? How are you built? How am I built? To be a little bit different from each other, but when we come together, there is a more and greater impact in the body of Christ. So perhaps our uniqueness is not so much found in our individuality, but in our harmony together. Okay? Did you get that? Perhaps our uniqueness isn't so much in our individuality, but in our harmony together. How does Mount Joy come together as a church family to grow as a church family and then to bless our neighbors, to bless the neighbors around it? It's kind of like the difference between putting together a jigsaw puzzle and assembling a mosaic. You know, with a jigsaw puzzle, what do? You usually put together that rim around it first, right? You get those pieces together, and then you start to put them together. And you notice the pieces that kind of go together and look together. But you notice after a while, oh, these pieces are similar. Like, some of these pieces are exactly the same as the other. They were punched out, you know? They were made on a big machine and put together. But if you ever look at a mosaic is something what? That it's like somebody has taken scattered pieces of things. They've maybe filed them down, turned them around, looked at them, and they figured out how they fit together. How they fit together. So here's what I'm saying to you. In order to develop your spiritual gifts, you have to be working together on ministry together. In your small group, when you're going out into the community, when you're going on a missions trip together maybe. Maybe you're doing a certain act of service together, even like last night, like doing all that work together. You kind of figure out after, who's supposed to be doing that? Who's supposed to be cooking? Who shouldn't be cooking? Who should be greeting? Who's friendly and helpful and gets everybody, you know, who is the follow-up person to help us get cleaned up? Who's the person who administrates this whole thing so that we all work together smoothly, you know? What are the gifts? You only understand them and you only refine them and you only develop them when you actually begin to work together, begin working together. So developing our gifts in community means that we lean in on each other, but we lean in on God, who is the master designer. Because he decided what? He decided the gifts. He decided who would be together. He decided and called you to this church family. And so he's called this church family together. And then he is the one, he's the great mosaic maker, right? So we have to look to him and ask him, how is God designed us to be a mosaic? And so loving one another requires seeing your church family not so much as a jigsaw puzzle, but more like a mosaic of broken pieces that God is carefully placing together. And so listening to him and asking, where do I fit? I couldn't help but to notice this in the church lobby just early on. I think it's the first week I was here, this mosaic that is out there. Now, I don't even know when it happened. I don't know who built it. You probably know more stories. Maybe at coffee time you can share with each other and share with me a little bit about how this mosaic took place. But it captures me because I see right in the middle of it the word hope. I see the cross there down at the base. I see the tree growing up. But I see all these different pieces put together. And I can't help but to think that some master artist didn't help give some direction to putting it together, right? Somebody helped assemble it and put it together. And so here's what I'm saying. We need to work with one another, but then we need to pray with one another and honestly say, Lord, how do you have us now that you've called us? How do we work together? How are you fitting us together? How are you putting us together? And when we do that, we'll marvel at the gifts that God has given to us, and we'll honor and cherish the gifts God's given to us, but it won't be about any one of us. It'll be about what? All of us. Together, giving glory to the master mosaic maker who is God, who's crafted and designing and putting together this church family to enjoy him, to love one another, and to bless your neighbors and the nations with the good news of Jesus Christ. So, discovering your fit. I want you to do this week. I just want to give you a little assignment, discovering your fit. I want you to ask three trustworthy people. And if you can't find three, find two and ask one untrustworthy person. No, it'd be just, you know what I mean by trustworthy. Somebody knows you. Someone's going to give you good feedback. Someone isn't going to go, I just don't know, or give you some, you know, pat answer. They're trustworthy people that know you and give you good feedback. And just ask them, where do you think I fit in the body of Christ at Mount Joy? Where do you think I fit? You know? And just let them talk back to you. Because it's in actually ministering together, it's how we figure out where we fit. Let's read 1 Corinthians 12:27 together. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Let's start again. I got ahead of you. Let's start again. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. So each one's important, but together we're the body of Christ, okay? Last point this morning, we serve best when we deploy our gifts in love. When we deploy our gifts in love. So Paul kind of makes this drastic statement. I talked about this not too long ago in one of my messages. He makes a drastic kind of table-clearing statement about spiritual gifts. He's talking about spiritual gifts. He's equipping the body of Christ. He's encouraging them. He's exhorting them. He's somewhat reprimanding them. But he says this. He says, if I speak in the tongues of men and angels, but I don't have love, I'm a resounding gong, a clanging cymbal. If I have the gifts of prophecy, I can fathom all mysteries and knowledge. And if I have faith, I can move mountains, but I don't have love, I'm nothing. If I possess, if I give all I possess to the poor and give my body over to hardship that I may boast, but don't have love, I gain nothing. He's making this drastic statement. The early church, when this letter was being read to them, they would have gotten to this part of the letter and they would have been like, whoa, we need to listen up. He's making some drastic statements to make a point about love. He's saying that without love, it doesn't matter what you think, feel, believe, do. If you don't have the love of God in Christ coming in you, on you, and through you, it doesn't matter what you're doing. He says this, without love, nothing that we say matters. Right? Without love, nothing that we know, if we can fathom all knowledge, nothing that we know matters. Without love, nothing that we believe or have faith in matters. Without love, nothing that we do matters at all. So what Paul is saying here is how you do what you do matters. Amen? How you do what you do matters. Let's say that out loud together. How you do what you do matters. How I do what I do matters. How I do what I do matters. How we do what we do matters, right? And it all needs to be in love. So what does Paul say loves look like? In the next chapter, he goes into it. You know, I'm going to do a wedding at my house next Saturday. My niece is getting married in our backyard down by the creek next Saturday. And somebody, either me or somebody else in the wedding party, will read 1 Corinthians 13. Although 1 Corinthians 13, if you read the context, and I think it can be used in weddings, I'm not saying, but the original context is in the body of Christ, about what we're talking about this morning. Gifts in ministry, calling, you know, working together as a team. And here's what Paul says love looks like. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love doesn't envy. Love does not boast. Love is not proud. Love is not rude. Love is not self-seeking. Love is not easily angered. Love keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil. Love rejoices in the truth. Love always protects. Love always trusts. Love always hopes. Love always perseveres. Love never fails. So that's what it looks like to be somebody who deploys their gift, but in the attitude and environment of love. Love. So I want to go back to our definition of spiritual gifts, and I want us to read this out loud together. Spiritual gifts are divine abilities distributed by the Holy Spirit to every believer according to God's design and grace for the common good of the body of Christ. For the common good of the body of Christ. Many of you know this, but some of you don't. There's a team here to help you with understanding your spiritual gifts, growing your spiritual gifts, and then really deploying your spiritual gifts. And it's called the Gifts Discernment Committee. And they work together to kind of help not just plug holes around the church family, but to think about, well, who's good at what, and who should we talk to about that? And they're there to help. And so the members of the committee are Kenzie Melhorn, Lucas Mader, Cordell Yoder, Michelle Green, Jenna Muma, and Claudia Sipling. Can you just kind of stand to your feet if you're here this morning and you're on that team? Okay, go to them. They know everything about spiritual gifts. I just want to, you can sit back down. Earlier in the summer, they gave us a really helpful tool called Gifts and Interest Inventory, which is something you guys have been using here for a long time. But they updated it, and a bunch of you completed the form, you filled it out. If you didn't have time to do that, and you want to do that, and you want us to have some help with understanding what are my gifts, how do I grow them up, and how do I, where do I fit in the body of Christ at Mount Joy, just come up this morning at the end of the service. They're up here right next to the basket, right next to the cross that's down here with the all-in commitment cards. And you can just grab one, fill that out, and either just put it back there by the cross when you're done doing that, or you can turn it in over at the coffee bar, because I didn't set this up, so I'm just doing this off the fly right now. But we would like to get it back from you, or turn it into coffee bar, or put it into one of the offering boxes, okay? That would be helpful. Because we just want to get it back from you and know how we can help you fit in the body of Christ. The other thing that you can do this morning, as we're closing out, if you want to come up after we close out, before we have coffee together, and grab one of these all-in commitment cards, and the all-in commitment card just says this: I'm all in as a disciple of Jesus Christ with my spiritual family at Mount Joy Mennonite Church, enjoying God together through weekend worship and a weekday quiet time, loving each other by engaging in community and service, blessing our neighbors and the nations by giving and going. If you're somebody who says, I want our next pastor and I want my church family now to know I'm all in, come up, get one of the cards, sign it, and just stick it to the cross like so many others have done up here. But take some time just to respond in that way this morning up front at the cross if you feel led to do that today. So our all-in prayer, I want us just to read this together, and then we'll be done with our message portion of worship this morning. Let's read this together, our all-in prayer. Lord Jesus, empower us to be all-in as a church family. During this season of new beginnings, help us to live together by reaching up, enjoying you, by reaching in, loving each other, and by reaching out, blessing our neighbors. Lord Jesus, I just pray that you would bless the Mount Joy family. That you'd help everybody in the family know their place, know their gift, know their calling, know their fit, to enjoy it, to work together, to discover their gift, to deploy their gift, to develop their gifts, all for your glory and for the good of the body, so that the body is built up and our neighbors know about your great name and have the opportunity to respond to you and come into the family too. Bless the Mount Joy family as they do this. I thank you for them, and keep growing them and building them together in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.